You're invited to step into the shadows with investigative journalist Jasper Murphy, whose obsession with the criminal underworld has led him on a pursuit to unravel its darkest secrets. Though the cases presented here are works of fiction, they are frighteningly realistic. All names, locations, and events are fictional. Any resemblance to actual events, places, or persons living or dead is coincidental. The cases explored can be confronting. To pursue these case files further is to intentionally immerse yourself in a realm where reality and meticulously crafted fiction are indistinguishable. Proceed at your own risk.
The tranquil college town of Charlottesville in Virginia was rocked by the brutal murder of Emily Hart, a promising 20-year-old environmental science student at the University of Virginia. The shocking incident, which occurred on the evening of March 18, 2018, sent shockwaves through the tight-knit community and left many questioning the safety of their once peaceful surroundings. Emily Hart was a beloved member of the university community, known for her passion for environmental causes and her kind, gentle nature. She was last seen leaving Java Junction Cafe, a popular hangout spot for students, on the fateful evening of her disappearance. Her roommate, Sarah, received a text message from Emily stating that she was on her way home, but she never arrived. The discovery of Emily's body 2 days later, on March 20th, 2018, in a secluded wooded area just a couple of miles from the university campus, confirmed the community's worst fears. The young woman had been brutally murdered, her lifeless body concealed under a pile of leaves and brush. As the investigation into Emily's murder unfolded, it became clear that this was not a random act of violence, but rather a calculated and sinister plot fueled by jealousy and obsession. The ensuing legal proceedings would reveal a tangled web of secrets, lies, and betrayal that would forever change the lives of those involved and leave a lasting impact on the Charlottesville community. Emily Hart was a brilliant and passionate 20-year-old environmental science student at the University of Virginia in Charlottesville. She was known for her dedication to her studies and her unwavering commitment to environmental causes. Emily was an active member of several on-campus organizations, including the Environmental Protection Club and the Student Sustainability Council. Growing up in a small town in Virginia, Emily had always dreamed of making a difference in the world. She chose to pursue environmental science at the University of Virginia, hoping to gain the knowledge and skills necessary to tackle the pressing environmental issues facing our planet. Her professors and peers alike admired her intelligence, curiosity, and determination. Outside of her academic pursuits, Emily was a kind and caring individual who always put others before herself. She volunteered at local animal shelters and participated in community clean-up projects. Her warm smile and genuine nature made her a beloved figure among her friends and classmates. However, not everyone in Emily's life had her best interests at heart. Rachel Lee, a fellow student at the university, had developed an intense jealousy and obsession with Emily. Rachel, who was also studying environmental science, had always felt overshadowed by Emily's accomplishments and popularity. Despite Emily's attempts to maintain a cordial relationship with her, Rachel's resentment only grew over time. Recently, Rachel had started secretly dating David Thompson, a young man with a troubled past and a lengthy criminal record. David had a history of violence and had been in and out of juvenile detention centers throughout his teenage years. He had met Rachel at a party and was drawn to her wild and unpredictable nature. As Rachel's obsession with Emily intensified, she began to view her as a threat to her own success and happiness. She confided in David about her feelings of inadequacy and her desire to take Emily down. David, who had developed a twisted loyalty to Rachel, agreed to help her carry out her sinister plan. In the weeks leading up to the murder, Rachel and David began to stalk Emily, learning her daily routines and gathering information about her whereabouts. They created an anonymous social media account and started sending threatening messages to Emily, hoping to unnerve her and make her feel unsafe. Despite the increasingly hostile messages, Emily tried to maintain a brave face and focus on her studies and extracurricular activities. She confided in her roommate, Sarah, about the unsettling messages but decided not to report them to the authorities, believing that they were nothing more than a cruel prank. Little did Emily know that Rachel and David's plan was far more sinister than she could have ever imagined. As she went about her daily life, attending classes, studying at the library, and spending time with friends at Java Junction Cafe, the couple was plotting her demise, waiting for the perfect opportunity to strike. The stage was set for a tragedy that would forever change the lives of everyone involved and send shockwaves through the once peaceful college community of Charlottesville. On the morning of March 18th, 2018, Emily Hart awoke in her dorm room, unaware that it would be her last day alive. She went about her usual routine, attending classes and meeting with classmates to discuss a group project. During the day, she received several more threatening messages from the anonymous social media account, but she brushed them off, focusing instead on her upcoming exams and environmental science club meeting. That evening, Emily decided to unwind at Java Junction Cafe, a cozy coffee shop just off campus where students often gathered to study or socialize. She settled into a corner table with a steaming mug of her favorite herbal tea and opened her laptop to review her notes. As the hours ticked by, the cafe began to empty out. Emily, engrossed in her studies, hardly noticed the passing of time. It wasn't until the barista, a friendly young man named Alex, approached her table that she glanced up at the clock. Alex politely told Emily they were getting ready to close up for the night and asked her if she wanted anything else before they packed up. Emily blinked, surprised to see that it was already past 10 p.m. She gathered her belongings and stepped out into the chilly night air. As she began the short walk back to her dorm, her phone buzzed with an incoming text message. It was from her roommate Sarah, who was checking in with Emily to see when she would be home. Emily quickly typed out a reply. Just left Java Junction. Should be back in about 10 minutes. Little did she know that this would be the last message she would ever send. As Emily walked along the dimly lit street, she heard the sound of a car engine behind her. Turning to look, she saw a familiar vehicle slowly approaching, its headlights cutting through the darkness. The car came to a stop beside her, and the passenger window rolled down, revealing Rachel Lee in the driver's seat. Emily's heart sank, knowing that their relationship had become strained in recent months, and she had been trying to avoid Rachel. Rachel greeted Emily and suggested they chat about their troubles in order to work things out. She insisted that Emily come with her, assuring her that they wouldn't be long and that she would drop Emily off at her dorm, saving her the trouble of walking the rest of the way. Despite the sense of unease washing over her, Emily hesitantly approached the car. As she drew closer, she noticed a shadowy figure in the back seat. Before she could react, the rear passenger door violently flung open, and the shadowy figure grabbed her by the arm, yanking her inside. Emily screamed, but her cries were quickly muffled by a strong hand clamping over her mouth. She thrashed and fought, but her attacker was too strong. As the car sped away into the night, Emily couldn't help but wonder if this was how it would all end. Rachel drove for a short distance before pulling over on a dark, secluded side street. David, wasting no time, lunged forward from the back seat, his hands wrapping around Emily's throat. She clawed at his fingers, gasping for air, but it was no use. As the world began to fade away, Emily's last thoughts were of her parents, her friends, and the life she would never get to live. Believing Emily to be dead, Rachel and David discussed how they would dispose of her body. They decided to drive to the woods on the outskirts of the university campus, where they could quickly hide her remains. They hauled Emily's limp body into the boot of Rachel's car and set off towards the woods. During the short drive, unbeknownst to her captors, Emily regained consciousness. As Rachel and David stopped the car and opened the boot, Emily, mustering all her remaining strength, leapt out and made a desperate run for freedom. Rachel and David, caught off guard, quickly gave chase. A violent struggle ensued in the brush, with Emily fighting for her life. However, David, being stronger, ultimately overpowered her. He grabbed the rope they had brought with them and once again strangled Emily. Unsure if she was dead this time, Rachel and David checked for signs of life. Convinced that Emily was finally gone, they proceeded with their plan to conceal her body beneath the leaves and brush of the secluded woods. They looked at each other without saying a word, a shared understanding of the gravity of their actions hanging heavy in the air between them. With a quick nod, they made a hasty exit. On the morning of March 20th, 2018, a local hiker named David Morgan set out for his usual morning walk through the wooded area near the University of Virginia campus. As he navigated the winding trails, he breathed in the crisp spring air, relishing the peaceful solitude of the forest. Suddenly, a strange shape caught his eye, partially concealed beneath a pile of leaves and brush. At first, he thought it might be a wounded animal, but as he drew closer, a wave of horror washed over him. There, lying motionless on the ground, was the body of a young woman. David's heart raced as he fumbled for his phone, his fingers shaking as he dialed 911. David, with a shaky voice, told the operation how he had stumbled upon a body in the woods near the university campus. As he waited for the police to arrive, David couldn't bring himself to look at the girl's face. He could see the marks on her neck, the bruising and swelling that told a story of unimaginable violence. He felt a wave of nausea wash over him, and he had to brace himself against a nearby tree. When the authorities finally arrived on the scene, they were greeted by a grim sight. Emily Hart's lifeless body lay partially concealed beneath the brush, her once bright eyes staring blankly at the canopy of trees above. The ligature marks on her neck left little doubt as to the cause of her death, and the tire tracks and footprints surrounding her told a story of a struggle and a brutal end. As the police began to cordon off the area and commence their investigation, a sense of shock and disbelief settled over the community. Who could have done something so horrific, so cruel, to such a promising young woman? And why? These were the questions that would haunt the people of Charlottesville in the days and weeks to come, as they grappled with the loss of one of their own and the knowledge that a killer walked among them. The tranquil woods on the outskirts of the University of Virginia campus were transformed into a scene of chaos and horror as the first responders arrived at the location where Emily Hart's body had been discovered. Detective Sarah Bennett, a seasoned investigator with the Charlottesville Police Department, was among the first on the scene. As she stepped into the clearing, Detective Bennett was confronted with a sight that would haunt her for years to come. Emily's lifeless body lay partially concealed beneath a pile of leaves and brush, her once vibrant eyes staring blankly at the sky above. The ligature marks on her neck stood out in stark contrast to her pale skin, a testament to the brutal nature of her death. Surrounding Emily's body was evidence of a struggle and a hasty attempt to conceal the crime. Detective Bennett could almost picture the scene in her mind's eye, the desperate fight for survival, the cruel hands that had snuffed out a young life, and the frantic efforts to cover up the deed. As more officers arrived on the scene, Detective Bennett began to coordinate the investigation. She knew that time was of the essence. Every minute that passed was another minute that the killer could use to flee or destroy evidence. The first step in processing the crime scene was to secure the area and establish a perimeter. Officers were dispatched to cordon off the surrounding woods and to keep curious onlookers at bay. Meanwhile, forensic technicians began to meticulously document the scene, taking photographs and making detailed sketches of the area. One of the most crucial pieces of evidence was the ligature that had been used to strangle Emily. The rope, which had been left behind by the killer, was carefully removed from Emily's neck and bagged for further analysis. Detectives hoped that it might yield clues about the identity of the perpetrator. Next, the forensic team turned their attention to the tire tracks and footprints at the scene. Casts were made of the most promising impressions in the hopes that they could be matched to a specific vehicle or shoe. As the technicians worked, Detective Bennett and her team began to scour the area for any additional clues. They searched for discarded cigarette butts, stray hairs, or any other trace evidence that might have been left behind by the killer. Every item was carefully bagged and labelled to be sent to the lab for further analysis. While the forensic team processed the crime scene, Detective Bennett and her colleagues began to interview those who had known Emily best. They started with her roommate, Sarah, who had been the last person to receive a text message from Emily on the night of her disappearance. Sarah was understandably distraught, but she did her best to answer the detective's questions. She told them about the threatening messages that Emily had been receiving from an anonymous social media account and about her growing concern for her friend's safety. The detectives then turned their attention to Emily's classmates and professors, hoping to gain insight into her life and any potential enemies she might have had. They learned about Rachel Lee, a fellow student who had always seemed to harbour a grudge against Emily. As they delved deeper into Rachel's background, they discovered her secret relationship with David Thompson, a young man with a violent past. The pieces of the puzzle were starting to fall into place, but the detectives knew that they would need more than circumstantial evidence to make an arrest. One of the biggest challenges in the investigation was the lack of eyewitnesses. The secluded nature of the crime scene meant that there were few people who could provide first-hand accounts of what had happened to Emily. The forensic team had meticulously combed through the crime scene, collecting a myriad of evidence that the perpetrators had carelessly left behind in their haste to flee. From the discarded rope used as the murder weapon to the tire tracks and footprints that marked their escape route, the scene was littered with potential clues. However, the investigators knew that the real breakthroughs would come from the crime lab, where experts would analyze each piece of evidence. The anonymous messages sent to Emily's social media account turned out to be a dead end. The account had been created using a fake name and email address, making it nearly impossible to trace. A breakthrough finally came when the forensic lab returned their analysis of the DNA evidence collected from Emily's body. They had found a single hair that did not belong to the victim, and when they ran it through their database, they got a match, David Thompson. With this new evidence in hand, the detectives brought David in for questioning. At first, he denied any involvement in the crime, but as the interrogation wore on, his story began to unravel. He confessed to his role in Emily's murder and implicated Rachel as the mastermind behind the plot. With David Thompson's confession and the damning DNA evidence, the Charlottesville Police Department had probable cause to arrest both David and Rachel Lee in connection with Emily Hart's murder. Detective Sarah Bennett and her team moved swiftly to apprehend the suspects before they had a chance to flee or destroy any additional evidence. David was taken into custody at the police station following his confession. Rachel, however, was more challenging to locate. She had gone into hiding, seemingly aware that the walls were closing in around her. The police conducted an intensive manhunt, combing through the city and its surrounding areas in search of any trace of Rachel. They followed up on countless leads and tips, interviewed friends and acquaintances, and surveilled known associates, but to no avail. It seemed as though Rachel had vanished into thin air, leaving behind no clues as to her whereabouts. Finally, after nearly a week of tireless efforts, a breakthrough came. An anonymous tip led the police to a run-down motel on the outskirts of town, where Rachel had been spotted checking in under an assumed name. A task force was quickly assembled, and at around 8:30 p.m. on Sunday, 6th of April, police surrounded the motel, determined to bring Rachel into custody peacefully. As the officers approached Rachel's room, tensions were high. They knocked on the door, identifying themselves as the police and demanding that she come out with her hands up. At first, there was no response. The officers repeated their commands, their voices growing louder and more insistent with each passing moment. Suddenly, the door flew open and Rachel emerged, a look of wild desperation in her eyes. She brandished a knife, screaming at the officers to stay back, her voice raw with emotion. The officers trained their weapons on her, urging her to drop the knife and surrender peacefully, but Rachel seemed lost in her own world, consumed by fear and paranoia. For several tense minutes, the standoff continued, with Rachel ranting incoherently and the officers doing their best to calm her down. Finally, one of the officers managed to get close enough to deploy a taser, sending Rachel crumpling to the ground. They quickly moved in, securing the knife and placing her in handcuffs. As Rachel was led away to a waiting police car, the officers breathed a collective sigh of relief. The manhunt was over, and both suspects were now in custody. The arrest marked a significant milestone in the investigation, and the focus could now shift to building a strong case against Rachel and David to ensure that justice would be served for Emily Hart. Armed with David's confession, the DNA evidence, and the subsequent arrests, the detectives were able to obtain search warrants for Rachel and David's homes and vehicles. They found additional evidence linking the pair to the crime, including the shoes that matched the footprints found at the scene and fibers from Emily's clothing in the trunk of Rachel's car. The puzzle pieces of this twisted case had finally come together. Both suspects were formally arrested and charged with first-degree murder, kidnapping, and conspiracy to commit murder. They were held without bail, pending trial. As investigators continued to build their case against David and Rachel for an upcoming trial, the full picture of Rachel and David's sinister plot came into focus. The means, motive, and opportunity for the crime were clear. The means by which they carried out the horrendous crime were both calculated and cold-blooded. The couple had meticulously planned the murder, carefully selecting a secluded location and bringing with them the necessary tools to carry out the deed. Their weapon of choice was a length of rope, which they intended to use to strangle the life out of their unsuspecting victim. The motive, however, was more complex. Rachel's intense jealousy and resentment towards Emily had festered for months, fueled by her own insecurities and feelings of inadequacy. She had come to view Emily as a threat to her own success and happiness, and had become increasingly obsessed with the idea of eliminating her rival. David, for his part, had been drawn into Rachel's web of obsession and hatred. He had a history of violence and aggression, and Rachel had exploited these tendencies to manipulate him into doing her bidding. Together, they had planned and executed the murder with cold-blooded precision. As for opportunity, Rachel and David had carefully stalked Emily in the weeks leading up to the crime, waiting for the perfect moment to strike. The secluded wooded location where they dumped Emily's lifeless body was close to the cafe where they picked up Emily, enabling them to act quickly yet out of the way of prying eyes and potential witnesses. The trial of Rachel Lee and David Thompson was a media sensation, drawing journalists and onlookers from across the state. The proceedings began in September 2018, 6 months after Emily's murder. The prosecution, led by Assistant Attorney Michael Santos, presented a compelling case against the defendants. They laid out the timeline of events, from Rachel's initial obsession with Emily to the brutal murder itself. They presented the physical evidence, including the DNA, the tire tracks, and the footprints that tied Rachel and David to the crime scene. Sarah, Emily's roommate, took the stand to describe the threatening messages that Emily had received in the weeks before her death. She spoke of Emily's growing fear and unease, and of her own guilt at not having done more to protect her friend. Other witnesses, including Emily's classmates and professors, painted a picture of Rachel as a troubled and unstable individual, prone to fits of jealousy and rage. They described her increasingly erratic behavior in the days and weeks leading up to the murder. The defense team, led by high-profile attorney Evelyn Larson, attempted to cast doubt on the prosecution's case. They argued that the DNA evidence was inconclusive, and that the tire tracks and footprints could have been left by anyone. They suggested that David's confession had been coerced by overzealous detectives. But in the end, the evidence was simply too overwhelming. After just 2 weeks of testimony, the jury returned a unanimous verdict, guilty on all counts. Rachel Lee and David Thompson were each sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. As the verdict was presented, a hush fell over the courtroom. Emily's parents, who had been present every day of the trial, wept silently in the front row. Detective Bennett and her team exchanged glances of relief and satisfaction. They had done their job, and justice had been served. But even as the case came to a close, the impact of Emily's murder continued to ripple through the community. Her death had left a void that could never be filled, and the knowledge that such evil could lurk in the heart of their own town was a difficult pill to swallow. The trial of Rachel Lee and David Thompson served as a reminder of the fragility of life and the importance of cherishing the time we have with our loved ones. It was a tragic chapter in the history of Charlottesville, and one that would not be forgotten. In the wake of Rachel Lee and David Thompson's convictions, the community of Charlottesville struggled to come to terms with the senseless violence that had shattered the peace of their town. Emily Hart's family, friends, and classmates grappled with their grief and the painful realization that she would never again light up their lives with her brilliant smile and infectious laughter. For Detective Sarah Bennett and her team, the hard-won victory in court was bittersweet. They had brought Emily's killers to justice, but nothing could bring back the bright young woman whose life had been so cruelly cut short. In the months that followed, they continued to work tirelessly to ensure that every last piece of evidence was properly documented and preserved, knowing that the case could potentially face appeals and scrutiny in the years to come. Although Emily's life had been cut short, her legacy lived on in the hearts of those who had loved her and in the countless lives she had touched with her kindness and grace. Hers was a light that could never be extinguished, a reminder that even in death, love and hope can still endure. If you or someone you know is struggling with issues of violence, addiction, or mental health, know that you are not alone. There are resources and support systems available to help you navigate these challenges and find the healing and hope you deserve. Please reach out to those resources for help.
As we close the file on this chilling case, I invite you to continue your journey with Jasper into the heart of darkness. Visit the Murphy Case Files website at murphycasefiles.com, where you'll discover more information about each of the cases. And if you're ready to take your immersion to the next level, consider joining the Murphy Case Files Inner Circle. As a member of the Inner Circle, you'll gain exclusive access to bonus content on our website and access to our invite-only Facebook group, where you can join in discussions with fellow investigators and discover haunting bonus content and chilling revelations that will keep you up at night. Together, we'll confront the monsters that lurk in the shadows and shine a light on the darkest corners of the human psyche. Until next time, keep your wits sharp and your nightlights burning.